should I do after I graduate? Or maybe there's this person that that I like, and maybe we've been in a relationship for a while. Should we get married? Okay, I've graduated. Do I take this job in this city or that job in that city? I have, unfortunately, some bad news for you guys. These kinds of questions are things that we have to ask ourselves all the time. That in day-to-day life, we have tons of huge and small decisions that we have to make. And a lot of us, we're trying to pursue a godly life. We want to do the things that God has prepared for us. Ephesians 2:10 says, God has prepared good works in advance for us to do. And we want to make sure that we're going after those things and doing them, right? Unfortunately, the bad news is the Bible doesn't really give us answers to those questions I asked. Unfortunately, nowhere in Scripture will we be able to find, Nick Scott, once you graduate, you need to go here and do this. That's not in Scripture. Not in my translation. Is it in your? It's not in his translation either. So how do we figure this out? How do we understand what's God's will for us? You know, we want to be earnestly seeking after. We want to do the things that God has prepared for us. But how do we figure out what those things even are? At a general level, we know that God wants everyone to come to a full understanding of him. Now, he wants to draw us closer to him through his son, Jesus, so that we can have a saving relationship with him. And then after that, he wants us to love each other and love people who don't even love us and then serve each other and love him. We know that generally, but specifically, some of us are trying to figure out like what we should do when we graduate or what job we should get or who we should marry or where we should go or what we should have for lunch. There are things that we're trying to decide. Sometimes are really difficult. How do we seek after these things and figure out what God's plan is for us? This is one of the Ablaze 25, so the list of 25 things that we think are really critical for every believer to know and understand, to be doing and practicing, and then have an understanding where they could teach someone else what they are. This is a series that we're going through this school year. So I'm going to talk about this concept. How do we understand God's will? How do we figure that out? And we're going to use a concept here called a three-legged stool. Three-legged stool is not unique to Ablaze. We didn't come up with it. Even used in this context, it's not unique. There's oftentimes you can go and find three-legged stool for retirement or investment plans or business management or the three-legged stool of salvation. But we're going to use the concept of a three-legged stool here for understanding God's will. And the reason we use three-legged stool is because it is the fewest number of legs you can have for a really stable chair. You know, a two-legged stool falls over, a one-legged stool, it's called a stump, and we're going to use a three-legged stool so we can balance ourselves on it and put full weight on it. The three legs that we're going to use here are prayer, scripture, and godly counsel. Now, I'm going to slap sort of a Surgeon General's warning on this sermon. Well, not a surgeon's. A sermon's general warning on this sermon here. I don't know that always. In some situations, it feels like there is. We have to really make sure that we find the only way that God has prepared for us. Right? We're so stressed out of finding the one path through all of these myriad of choices that we have in our lives. And I just want to tell you guys, it's okay. We can relax for a minute. Because I don't think that there is one set right way of choices that if we make these and only these, our lives will be fantastic and every other decision will lead to ruin. There are times when God puts us in a situation and there's 20 choices and 4 or 5 of them are totally fine. There are definitely times when there are choices that are wrong. Don't do this. But any of these would be fine. Go to this college or that college. I'm fine with either of those. I mean, don't go over here. But so don't, it's okay. I want to take time to just relax a little bit. It's okay. You don't have to have all of the right answers for everything. We're going to go through this method, and if we can just trust in God and be able to relax and follow after him, we're going to look at some verses, actually, to remind ourselves of this. We're going to go find Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, and then Romans 8, 28, we're going to talk about as well. Just this, the idea of, you know what, if we're able to seek after God and trust in him and the things that we're doing, it's going to be okay, all right? So who would read for us Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6? Go for it, Jordan.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make you pass straight.
Hang on a second. When you read that last line, does it say and he will reveal to you the only correct choice for you to take, because there's only one right path. No, what does your translation say again? Just the last line there.
You'll make your path
straight. Right, okay. But that doesn't mean that there is only one right answer. Let's read Romans 8:28. Who has that for us? Before Adrian.
And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose.
And so God has the ability to take choices that we make, good ones and bad ones, and things that happen to us, good things and bad things, and work them together for our good. Now, for our good doesn't always mean for our easy, for our enjoyable, for our fun, for our happy. For our good sometimes means for our really difficult, so that we can be trained through really hard circumstances. But it means that if we can trust in God, terrible things that happen to us, bad choices that we make, all of those things can be used for his good. That God's going to take all the things that we give him, and if we are earnestly seeking after him and willing to just trust in his plan, even if we don't know what it is, he's going to use that for his good, for our good. So I want to jump, with that reassurance in mind, I'm going to jump into what is this three-legged stool that we're talking about. We got some verses here to sort of exemplify all of these things. Prayer, reading scripture, and using trusted godly counsel. So who would go and look up these verses for us? We have Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, Psalm 119, verse 105, and there's a lot of great verses on godly counsel in Proverbs. I just picked Proverbs 15, 22. We're just going to go and read those verses off to get an understanding of why these things are important, why these are the three legs that we choose to rely on. So who has the verse in Philippians? Go for it, Jason.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
I don't know about you guys, but that peace of God that makes no freaking sense or transcends all understanding, that sounds pretty great sometimes, right? We're going through all the things, and we're cadets, we're engineers, we're whatever. This is hard sometimes. Having that peace sounds really awesome. The way that we do that is with prayer and thanksgiving, taking these things to God. That's critical. That's important. Psalm 119, some people may recognize because there is a now ancient Christian song that is based off this that is as old as Tony and Desiree's marriage. I went and looked it up. It was written in 1984. So can we go and find Psalm 119, verse 105?
Your word is a lamp.
Right, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Your word is what can guide me. It's what can guide me. And then Proverbs 15:22. Who has that? Go for it.
Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed.
Right, it's important to have a lot of different godly counsels. What do we mean in each of these things? Okay, I just want to break down some examples of what these things are. Prayer is a two-way street. Something I feel like that we forget all the time. I forget all the time. Is you sit down, and all right, I'm going to pray for a while, and then you pray and pray and pray, and you're talking and talking and talking and talking, and praying all these things. Amen. And you go and do things. That is a terrible conversation for you to have. Hey, Emily, how's it going? This is my day. Everything's been going on. I've been watching dishes and doing everything. All right, see ya. That was a terrible conversation that we just had. Conversation involves listening. It involves listening. Part of prayer is stopping. Is hearing what God has to say back. Sometimes it's just reassurance. It's just, hey, it's going to be all right. But a lot of times he has things to say. And it's hard for us to hear what God has to say if we never listen. If we never listen. So that is a critical aspect of prayer. Scripture. It's really important as we're reading through Scripture, especially when we're trying to make decisions, that we read through the context. The situation that it was written in, who it was written to, why it was written, the verses surrounding it. Because it's really easy to make the Bible say pretty much whatever you want it to if you're willing to read it in a certain way. Do you know the Bible says there's no God? The Bible says there's no God. Plain English, there is no God. I mean, the line before it is, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But if you're willing to put blinders on and read only the parts of Scripture that you really want to, it's easy to make it say things that aren't true. So it's important as we're approaching Scripture to humbly approach the context and involves oftentimes asking other people, okay, I think I have an understanding of what this means, but am I off base here? And this is where godly counsel comes in, is because especially as we're trying to get people to help us make decisions, it's important for a few things. One, that they're godly people, that they're good people who want good things for us. There's a lot of people who have different principles of the world that are going to say, hey, I know what job you should take, whichever one gives you the most money, because that's the most important, right? Hopefully, your godly counsel is not giving you that advice. But if that's, you know, some people, that's going to be their priority. You know, which job do I take? Whichever one gives me the most money. I don't have to make any of the decisions. This one gives me X. This one gives me Y. Y is bigger. I'll take that. That's not godly counsel. We also want to make sure we're getting godly counsel from multiple people. Because sometimes one person isn't going to be a balanced perspective of everything we need to hear. We want to make sure that we're getting trusted godly counsel. That we're not just talking to our friends from church who maybe don't have good advice for us or haven't been in the situation, or you know, maybe they want to turn around and gossip about the thing that we shared with them that we're struggling with. We want to make sure that the people that we're talking to, we can trust. And that's one of the things that I think is so valuable here at Ablaze, is Ablaze is not like other churches that I have been a part of or seen. We can trust each other in a lot of ways. Transparency is so important to us. Being honest about who we are is so important to us. That you guys know that you can count on each other because you're all vulnerable with each other. I think that's so critical. But we have to make sure that the people we're sharing things with are godly and have our best interests in heart. So there's also ways to do each of these really wrong. It's important to have all these three. They function in a sort of checks and balances system. It's important to have all three because they balance each other. So let's look at some, we're going to use some verses here and look at how we could do this really wrong. And what would that mean? What would that look like? So let's look up 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 20, 21, James 4, 3, Matthew 4, 5, and 7, 5 through 7. The verse in 1 Kings, it's too long, so I'll sum it up later. So who has 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 20 and 21? Anne would like to read. Is that you, Virgil?
Go for it.
Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good.
Absolutely, yeah. So these are prophecies that he's talking about. These are things that people are making prophecies about something. And what Paul is saying here is, test them. Test them. Check them out. Make sure that they're really there. Because if you're willing to just, if you pray and you think you hear something, it's hard sometimes to hear from God. It's really difficult. Sometimes we think we hear from God and it makes sense and it goes with our gut and we go for it. And it turns out it was just our head, or just Satan tempting us, just our flesh. It's sometimes really difficult. It takes time to learn, what does God's voice sound like? It takes a lot of experience to try to figure that out. So it's important to make sure we're testing these things. If we hear something from God, okay, cool. I'm going to test it to make sure it's really from God. What does James 4:3 say? Go for it, Mike.
When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures.
It's also easy to ask for the thing that you want. And then when God says, yeah, you can totally have the thing that you want, was it actually God? Or was it you asking for the thing that you wanted, as opposed to humbly approaching God and saying, hey, I want what you want. Whatever you want, I'm going to want that thing. So it can be very easy as we're approaching prayer to mishear from God. It's really hard. Very rarely, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but very rarely do we pray and we say, okay, God, do I do this or do I do that? And then we audibly out loud hear, I want you to specifically do this exact thing. It happens, but not all the time. More often, we get a sense, we get a feeling. That's the Holy Spirit prompting inside of us. But not always is it audible, plain text English. We don't get a text from God saying this is exactly what we should do. What about Scripture? Scripture's pretty good, right? We can just approach Scripture and just read it. It's God's Word written to us. I mean, it doesn't have like, hey, Nick's got to go do this thing, but it's got good godly principles that we can apply to the decisions. Like, why don't we just read Scripture? Why do we need these other stools? Well, what's going on in Matthew 4? Does anybody know what's happening without looking it up? Go for it. Do you know? Oh, you looked it up. Nah. Just the context of what's happening in Matthew 4. What's going on? What is it?
Is this where God's being like he's like Satan's trying to like tempt him? And
yeah.
He's like throwing out Bible verses that he's using wrong.
Correct. This is where Satan is tempting Jesus. He's trying to get him to do things to sort of break his status as the Son of God, not be perfect anymore. And what does he do? What are verses 5 through 7 say of Matthew 4? Go for it.
Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.
Satan can use scripture too. It's open source. Anyone can read it. Satan knows scripture. He can use it and twist it against us. It's easy to misinterpret, misunderstand, misapply scripture. That's why do you think this scripture's been around for 2,000 years, more than that in the Old Testament, and we don't all agree on exactly what everything means all the time? Wouldn't we if scripture was just so plain that we could all understand it, right? We have the Holy Spirit able to interpret us. Well-meaning brothers and sisters disagree on what things mean and why they mean that. Because while, yes, we should be earnestly pursuing Scripture, it's important, especially as we're using it to make decisions, that we balance that with hearing from God and getting counsel from other people. But godly counsel here, I mean, you guys have some pastors here who pray for you regularly, who read Scripture. Why don't you just cut out the middleman and ask us, right? Just ask us whatever decisions you have, and just whatever we tell you, you'll just do that because we're already praying for you, we're already reading scripture, you don't have to go through those needless steps, and you'll be fine, right? Obviously, no. 1 Kings, this is a phenomenal story here in 1 Kings. Solomon has just died, and his son Rehoboam is taking over as king, and all the people of Israel came to him and was like, hey, so, Rehoboam, Ray, let me talk to you for a second. Solomon kind of put a heavy burden on us. You know, we had to build the whole temple. It was neat. We love the temple. Temple's great. Kind of rough. Kind of, the yoke is a little heavy here. Would you mind, you know, easing up a bit? You know, are you going to be, ease up a bit? And he's like, let me think about it. And he had these two sets of advisors. He had these older advisors who'd been around with Solomon, and then he had this new set of advisors that had come up with him. And he was like, okay, what do you guys think? Older advisors, I want to hear from you. What do you think that I should tell these people? They're asking me to lighten the load. What do you think? And they say, well, you know what? If you agree, if you say yes, I'm going to lighten your load. I'm going to be merciful and kind and loving, and I'm going to be your servant. They'll have your loyalty forever, forever. They'll be loyal to you. They'll be your servant. They'll be faithful to you. They'll love you. You'll be their favorite king. He's like, interesting. Okay. Solid point. Younger advisors, what do you think? We understand what the older advisors are saying. It's interesting. I'll give them that. But what if, and hear me out, instead we double down and we make it way worse? And you tell them, you know how Solomon disciplined you with whips? We're going to do it with scorpions. What? Rehoboam says, now scorpions are wicked cool. At least in my translation, wicked cool. And so that's what he says to the people. And then it ends this passage with, and that's why the people of Israel are still in rebellion to this day against the house of David. Here's the thing that happened. He had multiple people telling him multiple things. He had different advisors, which is important. But his advisors said different things, and then he just went with whatever thing he felt like, whichever thing sounded good to him. Sometimes your godly counsel is going to tell you things you don't want to hear. They're going to tell you to do hard things when an easier thing would be easier. And that's part of this whole process, is that we sort of lay it out, you know, prayer, scripture, godly counsel, super easy, right? No. It's really simple. I'm trying to make it simple, but it's not easy. These are hard decisions that we have to make. If it was an easy decision, we would just decide. Right? That's part of this process, is we're trying to figure things out. We're trying to get from where we are to where God wants us to be. And going through this process, I think, is really important. Relying on this is really important. But it's hard. It's hard. And sometimes we're going to hear things that we don't want to hear. We're going to get advice that we don't like, even if it is good for us. And that's why all three of these are important. Is that if you feel like you have a clear answer through prayer and scripture, and you go to a lot of different people, godly counsel, and none of them agree with you, maybe that's not the right choice. If you have godly advice and verses that back up with the decision you're going to make, but you're praying about it and God says no, maybe make a different decision. If you're going through and you find verses that are telling you don't do this thing that you're about to do, because again, scripture doesn't say move here, don't move there. It gives you principles. Why are you making the decision that you're making? If you have a choice between going somewhere and making more money or going somewhere and being close to your family, scripture's pretty clear about what it values in terms of those two things. So there are principles that we can root out and rely upon as we're making these decision processes. But it's tough to do this. That's why it's important to rest on all three of these things. I'm going to go into, like, really practically some examples of what these things look like as we do them. But first, I want to just remind us to rest for a minute. Just rest. Sometimes it can feel like we have to make all these right decisions, we have to do all the right things, we have to go through this process, and we go through this three-legged stool that Nick laid out. All of our decisions will be amazing, and everything will be perfect, but if we don't, our lives will be ruined. Just relax. Just relax. Trust that if you are earnestly seeking after God, He's got you. He's got you. Sometimes we make choices that aren't the ones God wants us to make, right? And it makes the process harder. God's going to get us where He wants us to go, though. The example here, the Israelites, this is what I think of every time I go to understanding God's will and God getting you to where He wants you to go, is the Israelites wandering in the desert, in the Promised Land. And they have all these examples of God coming through for them. And then He says, okay, this Promised Land that's flowing with milk and honey is the best place you've ever been. You were just slaves in Egypt, and you wandered through the desert. There was a thing with the golden calf, whatever. But anyways, we have the Promised Land here. This is where I want you to be. And they go, okay, interesting, interesting. They send some scouts in. Turns out there's a few tall boys there. And they're like, I don't know about that. And so they don't trust God to take care of them. And they end up wandering the desert for 40 years. But what happens at the end of that 40 years? They go back and they've learned their lesson and they end up in the Promised Land because they trust in God. God got them to the Promised Land. But sometimes we make things harder by our own choices. Sometimes it's easier if we do it right the first time and God says, here's your plan, go for it. Awesome. I'm just going to do what God has for me. But sometimes we say, no, I'm going to do it my way. And we go off and go through the brambles and we're trying to get over things. We wander in the desert for 40 years and we come back and go, what if I did it God's way? And we try it that way later on. It's always better if we do it God's way, but sometimes we make it harder for ourselves. We got to be able to trust that God is going to get us there. The other thing is that sometimes there is no real clear way for us to get from A to C. God wants us to end up at this point, but there's no straight line there. And so He has to take us all the way over here to get down over there. An example of that is my raising support. I think it's entirely possible that God wanted me to start raising support, and there was no way to get me there until putting me in a situation where financially Emily and I needed to start raising support. That unless she starts going to PA school, I'm not going to start raising support. And maybe that's a thing God wanted me to do to change my heart and my mind about raising support and being on staff for ministry. And I think that sometimes God does that, and He says, okay, I needed to get you over here, but there was no way I could really get you from here to here. My parents have that example with moving to New Jersey. There was no way my mom, really, was going to move from Atlanta to New Jersey. Reasonable, I guess. So first, they went to Syracuse for 4 years. That was part of that process, was going to Syracuse for 4 years so that God could bring my family to where it needed to be. That's part of that process. And so it's okay if we feel like we're taking detours in our life and we're not ending up as quickly getting to the point where we think God wants us to be. Sometimes, you know, we look back on our life and God had to take us here so that we could get there. Does that make sense? So let's dig into some practical examples here. How do we do these things? Sound great, Nick? I like the idea. What do you mean, though? So I'm going to use the example of how we teach people to prepare sermons. What we ask are the men who come up here and give sermons to do as they're preparing this process. What does it look like to do each of these three things? Because we do all three of them every single sermon. First thing we ask them to do is, before you start preparing, before you have ideas about what you're supposed to share on a Sunday, spend at least an hour in prayer. Minimum, an hour in prayer. And that can be, you don't have to, like, for a whole hour right there, break it up, but spend time praying so that the core ideas of your sermon are not yours, they're God's. I'm sure Nick and Tony and Jordan have fantastic things to say about God, but would rather hear what God has to say about God and use them as a vessel. So we start off with at least an hour of prayer. You want to get you want to get your heart in the right place, and you want to hear whatever God has to say. Next, you're going to go to verses. One of the things we challenge our guys not to do is just like Google a thing and then throw it in the sermon. Make sure you're reading scripture and understanding it and using the context. One of the things that we give feedback on, especially for people who are new, is like, make sure that you read the verses before and after, because sometimes they really add to what you're trying to say. And if you just, it could tell you Googled it because you just pulled it off a website and put it in and you didn't read the context. So make sure that as you're approaching scripture, you're approaching the whole context to get the big picture of what's going on. And finally, godly counsel. Sometime on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we have a group chat with all the Ablaze teachers, and we will send our notes to the whole group and say, hey guys, this is my outline. This is what I'm planning on talking about. We do it that early so that we can all comment on it and say, maybe change this or move this up here, or here's this other verse that you might not have thought about, or I wouldn't say this in that way. Maybe approach it this way. We give each other feedback before the sermon even starts, and then again, after we give our sermon, because it's important to have godly counsel, to have advice from other people. So that's a practical way that we go through sermon prep every single week. So those are some examples of how maybe you guys can start to take and apply some of those things as you're making decisions. And again, stuff is hard. It's hard. I don't want to make it sound like, oh, you just need to pray, read a little bit, and you ask a couple people, and then all your problems are solved. It involves a lot of humility and being able to get an answer that you don't like, hear advice that you don't agree with, and submit to it. That's really hard, to feel like I know what the right answer is. And I read some verses, and I don't know, I could go either way. I could see why I would do this, or I could justify me doing that. I prayed, and it wasn't very clear. Oh, okay, I mean, it was kind of clear that I should do this other, but maybe I misheard. Maybe I misheard me going after the thing I don't want to go after, and really, God wants me to do the thing I really want to do. And you get advice from other people, and they tell you things that you don't want to hear, give you advice that you don't like. Sometimes it involves being humble and submitting to God, His Word, and the leaders He's placed in your life, the advisors that He's given you. So it's tough. But to wrap up here, so what? What do we talk about today? It's so important, as we're trying to understand God's will, for us to rely on prayer, scripture, and trusted godly counsel. And as we're doing that, it's okay to relax and trust in Him, and trust in His ability to get us where He wants us to be if we're willing to just earnestly seek after Him. If we're willing to trust in His plan, even if we don't know what it is, and say, you know what, God, this doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to go after You. You know what, I really desperately want to pursue You, God, but it seems like these are all valid choices. So I'm just going to, and I'm not getting a clear answer from You on what to do, so I'm going to go after this thing, and correct me if it's the wrong path, or open up a door if it's not. And trust that you're seeking after God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much. As contradictory as it sounds, God, I thank You so much for giving us choices that we have no idea what the answer is, that don't have clear, clean, perfect answers that are easy. Because, God, that means we have to trust in You. That we have to recognize that we don't have any control in this situation, that we have to rest in what You are doing for us and realize that You have a plan that's bigger than ours. Not only is it bigger, it's better, God. I thank You for the opportunities that You give us to trust You, to recognize that You've got plans and we have to earnestly seek after You. You don't just give us an answer. We say, thanks, awesome. It's our turn at the deli and we just go. But we have to earnestly figure out, what are You trying? trying to give us? What are you, where are you taking us, God? I don't know. But I pray that you would give us some answers. As we're trying to figure out what do we do in life, big and small, I pray that you would help us to use this three-legged stool to make decisions for you, to trust in you, and that you would use that to bring us closer to you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.